All right, here we are for our roundtable with George, Mark, and Glenn. Hey, guys.
Hello. Alicia.
All right, we are talking about prayer today, and that does not mean, it's weird that it's an all-guy panel. It doesn't mean that only guys know how to pray. It just means that only guys need prayer.
Thank you.
Very true.
So,
very true.
So we'll just start.
We need the most.
We'll establish that. No, I'm just teasing. Kind of teasing, not teasing. But I think this is a great topic because I think this is another one of those things that people, you know, it's like we all know we should be praying. We know we should be praying more. We want to pray. We have great intentions around prayer, and we just do not do it. Or we don't do it. I don't want to say we don't do it well, because honestly, like, it's some kind of weird performance thing. But we just feel like it's not natural. And I don't care how many people tell you prayer is just talking to God. Well, you know what? Apparently, we don't know how to do that. or we just don't want to. Now, I know there have been lots of books written on prayer, and I have my faves, which are obviously the best. Mm-hmm. But we also want to talk just around, what are really the practicalities of prayer? What does it look like to see answered prayer, motivation for prayer, and all of that? So I won't have you guys go rate yourselves on a scale from 0 to 10 of how good of a prayer you are.
Thank you.
And I think this is especially important to say because Mark Bates is a pastor, George, pastor mm-hmm. slash counselor, Glenn, counselor
slash pastor.
Slash pastor. Who has relatives who are also pastors. Yep. So, I mean, it's just like there's a lot going on there. So, but let's just start out by talking about what do you think are some of the biggest barriers to prayer? Why exactly what I said? Why does this play out in churches with people who would consider themselves to be churched, loving the Lord, relatively, you know, mature Christians on whatever scale? Why is prayer such a problem?
Being easily distracted.
Okay. Just with our own stuff?
You sit down to pray, and my mind is filled with 100 things that really demand my attention in the moment. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard just to shut that thing off mm-hmm. and to focus.
Spiritual ADD. Okay. It's really kind of what it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good point.
I think it's also important to keep in mind that there's a force that we don't see. And it's not an excuse. You know, we can... You know, the devil made me do it, but Satan's forces would try to distract us. Mm-hmm. They would try to, I don't know, this might just be me, but I find myself sometimes when I'm in church, I'm the most fatigued I am all week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it just coincidence? Is it just because I'm sitting down? I don't know. But I think there's an element of that. I think there's also an aspect of disinterest. It's real easy just to be busy with the things of life and say, you know, I got more important things to do. I'm not saying that's the attitude that's accurate and true, but it's often what I find in myself that there are other things that I would rather be doing. Mm-hmm. And I find it kind of convicting in my own heart.
Yeah.
And I think also we're a little bit cynical about whether or not prayer works. All of us know what it's like to pray for certain things and have nothing happen. And we're thinking, does this really matter?
Yeah, that's a good point. In fact, one of our listeners wrote in when we asked about this subject, and our listener said, it's hard for me to pray at times because God isn't answering my prayers in my timing. Mm-hmm. And so kind of feeling like, mm-hmm. does this really have anything to do with it? Okay, and also in tandem with that, and I want to ask your guys' opinion on this, the whole idea of if we're going to say that, you know, this is an age-old question, if we're going to say that God is sovereign, he knows what's up, he's orchestrated what has happened from the foundation of the world, what are we really doing to accomplish? You know, I've heard a lot of folks in our audience say this in relation to finding a spouse. God knows if I'm going to get married. He knows I want to get married. Why do I have to keep mentioning it every day to him? Mm-hmm. How do you deal with some of the implications of that questioning?
I think God desires to hear our heart. He loves us. He's a father. I know what my children need before they do. But I enjoy engaging with them and just hearing their heart, hearing how they express it. And it actually motivates me. I do believe that we can motivate God. Not that he serves us. Obviously, we serve him. But that father-son relationship is absolutely real. And he wants to engage with us conversationally.
I think it's easy to think of prayer as something that I'm doing kind of for God. I think prayer, God does something for us in and through it. It's how we engage with him and how he engages with us, as George just mentioned. And so it really does us more good than we're doing good in our prayers.
Yeah, and I think also our view of prayer is I'm coming to God with a list of things I want him to do. And you know, that's not how most relationships work. And I've been married for a while, and as my wife and I talk about different things, it's not like, okay, here are the 10 things I want you to do today, or she's giving me the 10 things. It's in fact, there are very few things I can tell her at this point that she doesn't already know. it's that conversation, that intimacy, and it's for us when we're praying, it's not like we're informing God. You know, God's not sitting there going, oh, I had no idea that you didn't like being single. You know, but he's hearing that when we're praying is we're expressing that dependence on him as opposed to living independently from him.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's juxtapose that a little bit with the idea, because I would say one of my biggest barriers to prayer has been I feel like I got messed up by way too many formulas early on. Mm-hmm. Like I have been told to pray ACTS. I've been told to pray, you know, according to, like, you know, my home, then my city, then the world, then you go through all the countries of people, you know, where there are missionaries and all this kind of stuff, different things like that. And I thought it was so freeing when I read the book A Praying Life by Paul Miller.
That is
fan.
The best
that
book.
Is definitely a winner in my book. Okay. I thought it was so freeing when he said, consider yourself as a child in relationship to God. And if you think of the average four-year-old, they're going to tug on their dad's, you know, pant leg and be like, Dad, Dad. And they're very assumptive of the good things that their father is going to do for them. And we try to make all these bargains and all this weirdness. Mm-hmm. And one of the challenges I think he gives in the book is to just sit down and not put any restrictions on yourself. And just if you were to talk to God, what would you be saying? And in many instances, it is me just kind of presenting my list of my selfish issues, desires, whatever. But it's been very prompting for me in a way to weirdly get the ball rolling in a conversation. And then I found that in doing that, all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, now others' needs or other cool things are brought to mind. And all of a sudden I'm rolling into other areas of conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's been a good way for me to kind of turn it on its ear a little bit.
Yeah. But isn't that how you talk to most people? It's not like your conversations with your, you know, your roommate or friends actually follow a linear pattern.
Right.
You kind of bounce from one topic to another, and that's normal. So yeah. I think that's how prayer should be.
I have never with a friend done adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. But I sure do it with God. I sure think that it's the best way. You know, I better do this. I better do that. And God is not going to listen to me unless I start with that A. Let me tell you right there.
Got to butter him up.
So true. Okay, well, let me actually put another question out to you because we mentioned the whole idea of being single and frustrated with being single. Here's another question from one of our listeners. What do you think of praying for a future spouse? So kind of that idea of it is a request, but you don't know if you'll ever get married. How long do you pray indefinitely for something that you don't know is going to happen? Or should you, quote, move on to better and more important things at some point?
Yeah. Well, I think God wants us to pray our hearts. And so, you know, even though we may be praying for something, maybe it doesn't come about. But we're praying our hearts. I think we always need to have that attitude as well. Lord, your will be done. Because if I'm saying, God, here's my demand, you need to do it in my time or way, or you need to just make this happen, he's not here to serve me. I'm here to serve him. And so I think that, you know, understanding it in the context of, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying my heart, but I'm ultimately saying, God, you're still God.
Mm-hmm. I think the prime example of that is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here is Jesus, who has an intimate relationship with God the Father, saying, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. But at the same time, I submit to your will.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the perfect balance. He was raw in his conversation with the Father. Something supernatural happened in that dialogue. The Scripture doesn't tell us what happened, but we see the evidence on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't understand what they're doing. There was a divine exchange in the garden. I don't think that would have happened if there was pretense and platitudes and formulas. It was raw conversation between two.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure you necessarily have to move on in the sense that, you know, go on to more important things, because it's not like that's unimportant. And I think we trivialize our needs and our humanness and our desire for community and intimacy as something that's insignificant. It's not. And we live in a fallen and broken world, and sometimes those things are lacking. I've talked to people who are single and been single all their lives in their 70s. And, you know, so they're not necessarily praying that they'll get married at this point, but there is still a grief that they'd never had that. And I think that's mm-hmm. perfectly appropriate to lament that before God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And I think, too, just speaking as a single person, I would say, you know, my bit of advice is, yeah, you bring it to God as often as you want to and in whatever mm-hmm. way, and God's hearing you and he's going to move and shape your desires. But the one thing that I know, you also operate with the information you have today. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I know today is that I'm single and that I'm called to singleness today, and I can rock that out in a way that is hopeful and loving right. and encouraged and, you know, maximizing the season I'm in while preparing for the one that Absolutely. May be to come. And so right. you can do a both and. Mm-hmm. Okay, kind of similar to that, a question someone wrote in is, how do I know if I'm praying against God's will and just praying for a long season and it's like, this isn't actually something I should be praying about?
The scripture is always the final test. If I'm praying the word of God, for instance, I think of several relatives that I have. I know scripturally that God wants them to be saved. Praying for years and have been praying for years for their salvation, I am praying the will, the heart, the mind of Christ. Praying that I might win the lottery would be difficult if I don't buy a ticket. And I don't know that God would answer that particular prayer.
Yeah, I agree. And I think going to the Word of God and praying things that are consistent with the Word of God is always safe. But there are other things you have a desire in your heart that you have no idea. For example, going back to the singleness, you know, I prayed for my children's future spouses since their birth, mm-hmm. but not knowing whether or not God would have them be married or not. And I don't think that was inconsistent or wrong to do. I think it's actually a duty of a parent. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't worry about that so much. I think we come and we pray in faith and we're saying, God, here's my desire. Here's what I long for. But I also know that you love me more than I can possibly imagine. And you actually know a whole lot more than I do. So I'm going to ultimately trust that you're going to do what's best, because I'd much rather have you do what you think's best rather than have me dictate to you what I think is best.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a child who's praying for food, for dinner, and praying for ice cream, keeping it in theme with the day of ice cream here.
Yeah.
I mean, God knows what's best for us, and we may pray our heart's desire, but we don't have to be afraid that, oh, somehow I'm going to get him to do something that's really apart from what he wants. Mm-hmm. He'll accomplish what he desires.
Mm-hmm. I think there's another aspect, too. Paul in the book of Romans says that the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. helps us, partners with us, so that we can actually pray appropriate prayers and developing that hearing ear, so that when I come into God's presence to pray, I am actually listening for the direction of the Holy Spirit. Boy, there have been times when I've prayed prayers that kind of baffled me after the fact, only to find out weeks or even months later. I think all of us have had a situation where you're impressed to pray for Bob or Mary. You don't know why. You're just praying for them. And then a week or 2 weeks later, you're engaged face to face and say, boy, you know, I was driving on the road and I had a terrible accident. And boy, God spared my life. And that was the exact same time when the Holy Spirit said, pray for them right now. Set aside everything. You partnered with the Holy Spirit, not even knowing what the situation was about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That actually brings up a good point, because it's a spot that I think a lot of younger adults are in with, like, social media and all this is the kind of, I mean, it sounds weird to say like a prayer fatigue, but this idea that now there are like way too many people in my life who would not be in my life had I not access to them via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Right. And I'm just like,
friends of friends.
Now I'm hearing about their lives and I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to stop and pray for them. I got to stop and pray. Right. No longer are you just in the lives of the people in your sphere, which I think can be a very exhausting, demoralizing and almost guilt-inducing kind of trip to be on and feeling. And I know I hear from millennials all the time who just say that, you know, take your friends and pseudo friends out of the picture. Just the burdens of the world are seeming so heavy, you know, and weighty. And how do we take the sum of all of them and bring them before God? Any strategies for that?
Nope.
Because there are so many things. It's like you either got to take politics or you have to take world disasters or you have to take, it's like, I'll take world disasters for 400, Alex. I mean, what are you going to put on the table first? I don't know. How do you guys do it?
Again, I really feel that we can develop that intimate relationship where the Holy Spirit knows what we need to pray for in the moment. And not trying to over-spiritualize this, but to me, it's just practical. I pray for my wife every day, but then I have experienced this so many times, I think all of us have, when the Holy Spirit will just drop a person's name into your heart, and you know you have to pray, but you don't even know why. But you just do. You're motivated by compassion and love. Mm-hmm.
And also, you can pray for those people, but it doesn't mean you have to, you know, I think, again, we're making this too complicated sometimes. We, you know, so I see a need.
We love doing that.
We do, don't we? But I see a friend, you know, like a social media acquaintance, and I see a need. I can pray for them right then and there. I don't have to add them to my prayer journal and everything else. And like today, you know, we, as church staff, we prayed for prayer requests that people put in the offering plate on Sunday. And so today, it was about 75 to 100 prayer requests. So, you know, so I'm prayed through those. Well, I probably won't hit all 75 to 100 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I will pray for my wife tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can do that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like stop, close your eyes. I think another thing is you can pray with your eyes open. You can pray while driving. You can pray while running. You can, you know, again, it doesn't have to be this big formal thing.
Yeah. And I think those are sometimes the most meaningful prayers. I realize my own brokenness when I'm sitting in traffic. And there's a part of me, I have to be honest, there's a part of me that says, okay, if there's been an accident, hopefully I'll get past it soon. Now, how low is that, you know? Mm-hmm. But can I, and sometimes I've done this, we've been driving, and I've just prayed and said, Lord, if somebody is in an accident or I see an ambulance, I just pray for them. And just in the midst of what's going on, I think that's a part of what scripture means when it says pray without ceasing. Just be in an attitude of prayer in whatever scenario. You know, when we pass people standing on the street who are asking for money, we may give, we may not, but can we pray for them? Yeah, that's something we can do.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I found that for me, doing that kind of praying has been really effective in the sense of even surprising to friends and or strangers, because I've tried to get out of the habit of, oh, yeah, I'm going to remember to pray for you, because about a 60% success rate right there. But if I say, can I pray for you right now? Right. And I put my hand on their shoulder and pray. And sometimes, especially like my non-Christian friends are just like, what kind of voodoo is happening here? You know, and it gives me a chance to kind of talk to them a little bit more about that. And so I'm reminded, my mom used to always say that the best motivator for prayer is answered prayer. Mm. What would you guys say have been some prayers that you've seen answered in your own lives or in others that really kind of keep you coming back to saying, wow, you know what? God is big, and this is why we we are glad we have access to him.
I had a scenario a couple months back. My wife's sister was in a hospital. Her lungs were filling up with liquid, with water. And my wife was called. She was at a Focus event, and she was told by her other sister, you need to come. Sandra's dying. And so Elizabeth boarded a plane and went there. And within about 3 days, it was not she's dying to a 50% chance she'll live to she's going to recover. And her sister wrote a Bible study kind of based on that, just seeing the power of God and healing, and bringing healing in her body. Now, obviously, it doesn't always God doesn't always heal physically, but in that situation, we prayed and God worked.
That's cool.
Excellent. Yeah. I think of when we were planting our first church many years ago, there's always more month than money. Mm-hmm. And we were at a place where we couldn't pay the rent, we couldn't pay the utility bill, we might have had enough food for one or two more days. I mean, it was really, really serious. And I said, Linda, I'll be back when I'm done. And it was nighttime. It was raining like crazy. And I just walked and prayed, kind of shaking my fist, you know. God, I'm serving you. What's happening? And I just prayed until I didn't know what else to say. And I turned around and I walked back home. And the next morning, I got a phone call from a gentleman that I had met one time a year before who never, ever came to our church. He said, George, the strangest thing happened. The Lord spoke to my heart last night and said, I needed to help you financially. Can you come to my home? And I'm thinking, wow, $20 would be such a blessing. And I went to his home, and we exchanged some pleasantries, and he gave me a check folded up. And we hugged and prayed together, and as soon as I turned the corner and I was out of his sight, you know, I pulled over. It's like, oh, my goodness, and I opened up the check. And it was for $1,000, and it took care of all of our needs. Yeah. And I never saw him again.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. I had, on the relationship front, I'll share one that's, like, both awesome and super embarrassing. But... I'd actually gone through about probably three breakups in a year. And I was just, for the level of connection I had with these guys, I was way too devastated at the end of these relationships. So it was just like, you know, oh, my life was over and how was I going to move on? And oh, it was just so terrible. And now I was clearly never going to get married, whatever. So then I went through the third one. And I remember I just had this like night, I was home alone. And I just prayed and I was like, God, because the previous two, I would say probably took like 4 to 6 months for me to get over. And it was just, again, just bogged me down, just horrors. And there's probably a whole other roundtable in that right there that doesn't have anything to do with prayer. But that said, this one, I was like, Lord, and I mean, this is like so selfish. Lord, I was like, I cannot go through this drama again. I cannot give up 4 to 6 months of my life to be in this nonsense and be just completely like in the gutter, devastated, unable to go on with life, blah, blah, blah. I said, you have just got to deliver me from this. And I remember I just cranked on praise music and just like sang for like an hour and like walked around my house and whatever. And the next morning I woke up and did not care one way or the other about this guy and this relationship. And it was just probably my only time, maybe one of two in my life, where I felt like I had this supernatural like intervention kind of thing with prayer. But I always come back to that because it seemed so silly. You know, it seemed like, God can help you with your emotions, whatever. But it just was very much him saying, you know what? I've got this. And this one I'm going to answer. And you know what? I probably got in another lame relationship after that where I didn't necessarily get delivered or whatever. And so it doesn't mean it's not some panacea or some kind of, you know, instant thing or whatever. But I just thought it was really cool that God showed up there. So anyway.
That is a great story.
Thanks.
That is a great story.
Thanks. Well, this has been cool. And I think, I mean, there are many other places we could go with this, but I hope that for you listening out there that you will have encouragement, that prayer is real. Obviously, it's biblical. Obviously, it works. And however you pray, the point is just to start praying and give God access to your life and to your heart.
And be vocal.
And, and
speak
he will,
out loud.
Yeah.
Pray out loud.
He will actually show up, people. We're proof that has happened. So thanks, you guys, for weighing in on this.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you.